Exodus 25, please. Verse 23 says, "Thou shalt make a table of acacia wood, 2 cubits the length thereof, and 1 cubit the breadth thereof, and 1 cubit and half the length, the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay with a pure gold, and make upon it a border of gold round about. And thou shalt make for it a margin of 1 hand breadth round about, and shalt make a border of gold for the margin thereof round about. And thou shalt make for it 4 rings of gold, and put the rings at the 4 corners that are on the 4 feet thereof. Close to the margin shall the rings be, as receptacles of the staves to carry the table. And thou shalt make the staves of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold, and the table shall be carried upon them. And thou shalt make the dishes thereof, and cups thereof, and goblets thereof, and bowls thereof, with which to pour out. Of pure gold shalt thou make them, and thou shalt sit upon the table shewbread before me continually." Thus far. So last time a long time ago, but we spoke about the tabernacle, and we spoke about, just to recap a little bit because they are connected, we spoke about the ark and the ark features. We spoke about the gold, what it means, and about the acacia wood. And we spoke that God looks at the ark as in a cross image. You have, you have the burnt offering, we saw the altar. Then you have the laver. Then you have a veil. You have in the right side, you have the table of the shewbread. The left side, you have the lamb, standing lamb. And the mid side before the holiest of all, the veil, you have the incense, the altar of the incense. Then you go to the ark. So if you look from, God looks from top to bottom, he sees the cross. And that's upon that we have the blessing that we get. We also spoke that the word of God is so accurate that we approach God by the burnt offering or the altar. However, God takes us, he starts from the ark, he goes out. If you read Exodus 25, we start from the ark. God did not start from the burnt offering. Altar. He starts from the ark, taking the person, taking the believer out. Taking from the ark, go into from the holiest of all, because that's the basis where we should approach God, from the ark itself. Also, the ark has a cover, which is a symbol of a type of the work of the Lord Jesus. The ark is all has halves, cubit and a half, or a cubit and a half here and there, and meaning that the half is not told yet. A type will not fully resemble the antitype. This halves, because God is not, although it's a type and gold and acacia wood, but it's not fully Christ. When Christ comes, God's spoken son. God's mind is fully in son, not in an ark with gold, and that's a type. That's why you have the halves. The table of the shewbread, also made from the same substances, pure gold. So we're not going to go through it again, but it's just, also it's Christ. And it means in here, sustenance. In the book of Leviticus, also it is mentioned in Leviticus 24, verses 5 to 10, or 5 to 9. There, it's speaking of communion. Aaron and his sons, they have the 12 cakes, loaves. They have to be made, 2 loaves, 6 and 6. And every Sabbath day, it will be changed. And that will be food for Aaron and his sons. It's too early to speak of communion with the Lord, but we need to focus about sustenance before that we stand, where we stand before the Lord, before we have communion with them. That's why in Leviticus, the communion, in Exodus, is about sustenance and our standing before God. We can't have communion before we were to know where we're standing, or to have a standing position according to God's mind before we have communion with Him. So, who is sustain us? Or the shewbread is the table. Who is the table of is Christ. Who is sustaining the believer is Christ. Right? He's the table. He sustains us, and he keeps us. We have the same height as of the ark, because which is resembles the work of the Lord Jesus. It's available for all. In the first epistle of John, chapter 2 and verse 2 say that his propitiation for all the world, not only for us. So the height of the work of the Lord is the same as the ark itself. However, it's different in the breadth and the width of it. Why? Because that's only for the believer, and we receive it by faith. And that's what we understand from Romans 3, verse 25, that by faith we receive the sustenance or receive the forgiveness of the past sins. So the work of Christ is available for all. However, the communion with him, the sustenance of God, it is limited only for those that they believe in him. And the condition of it is only faith. That's why it's smaller. The shewbread table is much smaller than the ark, because it's only for you and me. And you have also the handbreadth that is around it. That's also for our protection, that no cakes will fall, no believer will fall down. And you have the dishes and you have the cups. This our God wants communion. You have the staves also that they go through to carry it from place to place. God walks in the wilderness with his people, right? Although we carry him at the table, but he's carrying us eventually or actually. So this is the table. The priest will go there. I doubt that the priest, he knew all this. He knew that the bread there, it's a beautiful scene. That's him. That's also, you will look at it in different ways. We'll say the 12 tribes of Israel in front of God. It's true. Also, you can say about it, it's Christ himself who we present to God. So, beautiful picture where the same food that God eats, the same food that I eat. And who am I to eat the same food that God eats? We thank the Lord for that he is our food, and he is also the same as God that we present for him. I doubt that the priest really knew what it means. He knew it is holy. He knew it's beautiful. And it's beautiful to see all that picture, and you have people, they just go there and they do what God asked them to do. So let's open Ephesians to know more about us, things that the priest himself didn't know. Ephesians chapter 1, I read from verses 3 to 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the world's foundation, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love, having marked us out beforehand for adoption through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has taken us into favor in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of offenses, according to the riches of his grace. We stop here. We also spoke of Ephesians before, and we said it's the heavenly scene, and we spoke about the difference between Romans and Ephesians. We're not going to go through it, but we spoke about it. And we spoke also, we said that these verses here, from verse 3 to verse 14, it is mostly about the blessings that we receive, what we have in Christ. From verse, we have at least 7 blessings that we can look into them. It is the source of our blessing. What he said, blessed be the God and our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Who is the source? God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The quantity of our blessing is every blessing. Who has blessed us with every blessing? What kind of blessing that he blessed us? Spiritual blessing, right? Blessed is the Lord, is the God and Lord, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Where is it? It's in heaven, right? They see it in every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in Christ. Who sustain you is Christ, in Christ. As he has chosen us in before the world foundation. When did he choose to bless us? Before the world foundation. He chose to bless us. What is the atmosphere of that blessing? Is in love. Because he says that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. So everything is marked in love. He blessed us. If you count them, there are 7 blessings, at least what we read from here. Do we have more blessings? Yes. You can look at it in a different way. Also, you can say that he chose us to be what? Blameless, holy, and blameless before him. That's the chosen. God is not partial God. That's a side note. He's not we chose a person. We're not to choose a person, but he chose a place. He chose the state of us, what we're going to be, our standing. He's the standing of a believer. He didn't choose people just because he likes Milad, but he didn't like the other person. I'm going to choose him. No. As we said, faith is salvation is offered to all. But to those that they believe, that they chose to believe, God chose for them that they be holy. This is my state. This is my status. That's I am holy. Judicially, there's no judgment, I'm blameless. And also, I stand before God in my state. For God, it is before him that I'm holy and blameless. Before him, I'm standing before God. And he also predestinated us to be children. We not only are saved, it is enough for me to be saved, to be forgiven of sins. That's enough. That's more than we actually deserve, because we deserve judgment of death. But he saved us. He could have stopped there. But he chose us not to be only a servant or to be someone who just saved and holy and blameless. But he also chose that he predestinated us to be sons, children of God. That we have communion with God. All that was done in love. That's because you need the love. Imagine that we are in heaven, we're with God, but there's no love between us. Imagine that you go to your workplace or somewhere but there's no love between you and your master. That you go do your work and it is an awful scenario when you just go to God. There's nothing else there, you just stay there, but there's no emotions. And God is a God of love. God loves. He wants the people that he chose, their place in heaven, that they will also communicate with God through love, that they will understand his love. They know what God wants, what he did for them. It's like it's a queen that she has servant, but they have nothing to cook. They just do their work and they go. This is a very disparate scene, and God doesn't want this. It is all has to be done in love. And those people that God chose them to be blameless and holy before him, those people are the children of God, the sons of God. They need to be redeemed. If you read verse 7, through that we have redemption through him, the forgiveness of sins. Because if I'm going to stand holy and blameless before God, and if I need to be in a state of that I am considered as his child, when God looks at me, he looks at Christ himself, because I need to be redeemed. I can't go there with all my sins. From chapter 2, you understand that we need to be redeemed. We're not those holy people. We're not the blameless people. We had a lot of blame and we were sunk deep in sin. But we need to be saved. But God had blessed us. Thought about our blessing. He brought it to you because he wants to tell you, yes, you need to be saved. It's important that we be saved. That's what will get you to all the blessings, to be saved. But I thought about, even before I got to save you, I have blessings in my heart that I want to give to people. And that's, to be saved, you shouldn't stop there. We shouldn't stop that. We say that, oh, I'm saved, hallelujah, what a savior, I'm saved, and just go and just be happy. It's good, we saved, but this is the starting point. We have blessings with God. We should know that God thought about us more than just to be saved, that he wants to bless us. And how is it done? There's 2 ways that also we can look at it. We saw from verse 7, we talk about, it says, have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of offenses according to the riches of his grace. 2 terms, the riches of his grace, and I believe it's verse 5, let me see. According to the good pleasure of his will. The good pleasure of his will and the riches of his grace. When he talks about the riches of his grace, he talks about when God provides for our necessity. We need it to be saved. These are the riches of his grace. when he talked about the good pleasure of his will, is what we talked about. All the blessings that you're holy and blameless, that he thought about you, heavenly blessing, that you are in Christ Jesus. These are the glory of his, the good pleasure of his will. He didn't have to do it. It's according to the good pleasure of his will. And when he did for the riches of his grace, that's his necessity that we needed. For us to enjoy all the blessing we have, we need the riches of his grace, that we have to be saved. We can say it like if someone, a rich man, goes to the market in the old days, he found a slave person, and he redeemed him. He went there and he redeemed him. He took him to his house and he told him, you know what? You've been redeemed. That's your room. Go sleep. That's what I can provide for you. But no one will do that. If he's that person, when he saves the little boy, he takes him to his house. He told him, now that's your room. Tomorrow we go to school. And if you need a car, we can go get your car later on. We will provide you food. I will give you, like you are in place of my son. I will provide for you. And that is what is the glory of the grace of his good will. That's according to the pleasure of his good will. He didn't have to do it, but he did it. When the Queen of Sheba went to Solomon, her heart desired to see things into the king palace. Solomon provided for what she wanted to see. The riches of his grace, he provided. You want to see it. But also she sees things that she didn't ask to see. Thus, it is the good pleasure of his will. He provided for more, and then she told him the half is not told yet. Because he gave her more than what she expected to see. We can see in the prodigal son, let's open Luke 15. Another example of it. From verse 15 to verse 20, I believe the son wants to do what is in his heart, his will, what he thinks has to be done for him. So, first of all, verse 15, and he went and he joined himself to one of the citizens of that country. And he sent him into his field to feed swine. So he knew that he's done. He has no more money. He still insists that he wants to find something in the world, right? He still didn't come to him to himself. I need to go back to my dad, my father. I'm still going to look for something in the world to save me. I found this man. I'm going to go to him. I attach myself to him. What this man will offer him. Husks, right? That's what he will offer. That's what the world will offer us. He thought that the man will feel compassion towards him. Did he feel compassion? No. And husks, if you read the Darby footnote of it, it means a dry bread that was offered to animals or to a destitute person. So that's what the world has offered husks. And what he says then, he longed to fill his belly with husks, which the swine were eating. That's what he longed for. And no one gave him, and coming to himself, now he came to himself, right? Now he coming to himself to see his desires. I said, how many hired servants of my father's have abundance of bread, and I perish here by famine. I will rise up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servant. And he rose up and went to his own father. That's what his desire. He wants to be a servant. We desire salvation. We desire that we to be saved. Even to be a servant, that is too much for us. But what his that this is the riches of his grace. We see it now in a minute. That, and he rose up, he went to his father, but while he was yet long way, the riches of his grace, what did his father do? His father saw him. And when he saw him, what did he do? He was moved with compassion. Whatever the world that man didn't do to him in the first, he looked for compassion, he looked for love. The world did not offer him but the love of husks that the swine eats. His father moved with compassion towards him. And ran and fell upon his neck and covered him with kisses. He actually reconciliation, right? He just come to daddy. The riches of his grace. That's more than enough. And that's what he deserves. But if you continue. But the father said to his bondmen, bring out the best robe and clothe him in it. and put a ring in his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and has come to life, was lost and has been found. And they began to make merry. So this is according to the good pleasure of his grace. He offered his son things beyond what his son asked for. He offered us. He offered things beyond what we think that we deserve. We only deserve that we should be saved, and we come. And we all time we hallelujah about it. It's amen we saved, but he actually offered us more. And the priest in the beautiful other picture in the Old Testament where the priest goes and the bread is my food, I'm God's food. That's beautiful. But it's not as compared to what you see in Ephesians where we are blessed with all the heavenly, with our blessing that we are, Christ himself is sustaining us. Not a table of a shewbread with a hand bread made of gold. With all respect to it, it is only a table that is made. And that's type. But we have Christ himself. And if you keep reading to verses 14, and that we are sealed, and there's nothing can take us out of God's hand. And who we were, as a, we were sins, as sinners that we deep in sin. There's a hymn that says that love lifted me, right? I was deep sink in sin, far away from the peaceful shore. It's all was done by love, and he lifted us. And the purpose of the ministry is to know that we are didn't deserve the grace of God, but he did save us. We didn't deserve all the blessing, but he did give us. And you look around, and you, the media is keep different strains of virus and different this. They're taking our eyes off what we have in Christ Jesus. They all think we believers, we keep, be believers or non-believers, they all look at the, it's like they have like a chart where the virus is. Is it above or it is beyond or it is low, it is high? What the government is doing, what this is doing. What we're doing, what they're doing, and what, how are we going to escalate it? How are we going to shut down? What, where's Christ? Nothing. We believe that we should focus on Christ. Yes, the virus will come and go. We might even live with it forever. But you should know that you are sustained in Christ. And you are accepted. The word accepted, I believe, in verse 6, is not just morally or acceptance as your reconciliation, but he made you the object of his favor. Divine favor came, and you are the object of it. And it says accepted in the beloved. So you are the object of a favor of God, the grace in the beloved. I don't think there's any more sustenance than that you are in the beloved, you and me. And may we just, this media, I mean, personally, I stop looking at it. It just makes me angry with this virus. May we just, this, our faith will be strengthened. That we know we are in Christ, and we have blessings that he has for us, and we need to enjoy it. Who is the youngest brother here? It's you, right? You want to stand up for a minute? And have your Bible open for 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, because you're going to read this for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9.
But according as it is written, things which eyes have not seen, the ears have not heard, which have not come into the man's heart, which God has prepared for them that love.
Yeah. Thank you. That's what God has for you and for me. Things that no one heard and no ears could hear, and our eyes would see, he prepared for us. So we may be just focusing on those things and keep whatever will shut us of Christ and thinking of Christ. Any fear that we have, that we may know that we are sustained. Wherever we go, we are sustained by Christ. And in him, we are kept. That's all.